1340 WADK. WADK. It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028. 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. With me today, what's your name again?
Richard Price.
Price. I remember you.
Yes.
I remember you. You're the guy who played shortstop for the Yankees, right?
Brooklyn.
I got it wrong. Richie Price, one of the real treasures in Rhode Island.
Thank you.
A trumpet player who is in the Drum and Bugle Corps Hall of Fame. Drum and Bugle Corps Hall of Fame, different than the Buglers Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So you're in two halls of fame.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
And also was Lionel Hampton's
lead trumpet player,
played with Basie.
Yes.
He played with the Temptations too, right? Am I correct?
Well, that was one of the gigs that, you know, you get a phone call and they say, hey, Rich, could you just do this gig, man? Like, I can't be there. So it ended up that we had to take a ferry into Long Island, and it was a very hot day, but the Temptations were there, and we rehearsed with them that afternoon. And one thing I remember about that was when we were on the stage, the stage was so small, it could just have the Temptations so they could do their moves, and the piano player who was like running the show, and we were all crammed off stage in a little small room, really about the size of this room, with like five horns.
This room is huge.
Yeah. enough to breathe, take breaths while we're playing, but this room was small and it was hot, but it was a good Temptation gig. It was good.
Just a little background. The first segment I want people to understand. And then the other thing that Richie has done, Richie has taught at Hendricken, mm-hmm. but he's also taught here at
Thompson and Rogers.
And Portsmouth, right?
Portsmouth.
Yeah. And from kids from middle school all the way up to the high school.
Oh, yeah.
And so part of what we want to do today is talk about the importance of music education as well. And from the perspective of somebody who's lived music for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Your interest in music and trumpet began when?
Very different. I was born with asthma, and when I got older, one of the doctors said to my parents, look, he's still having problems breathing. We could, like, give him the medicine and all that, but here's a just suggestion. Why don't you have him play something, an instrument? And so I picked out I said, okay. I was like about, could have been more than 5-6 years old. No, I'm lying. I was 9 years old, and I decided to play the trumpet and enjoyed it. And it did help out a little bit, but I still have asthma's just very tough. But it did help me out. And then I just went on from that, from playing the trumpet. I got involved with Drum and Bugle Corps, and that had me outside practicing maybe twice to three times a week. We'd be outside. Different kids from all the different areas. I'm born from York, Pennsylvania, Amish country. And we have different kids from different schools, and we get together to perform as one group. And we'd practice. And me being outside and that helped me build my lungs up a little bit. And that helped out a lot. And plus the teamwork aspect, which a lot of people don't understand, to be involved with girls and guys of different races, different colors, different backgrounds, trying for that one goal of winning a drum corps show. And that being in the Drum Bugle Corps, I still tell anybody.
And who did you play with? What groups?
It was called, the first one I was in was the York White Roses out of York, Pennsylvania. And then after that, when I turned 21, I joined Senior Corps. And in the Senior Corps, it was the Reading Buccaneers, 2 years, and then right here, our own Rhode Island Matadors. I did that for like 6 years.
What brought you to Rhode Island, by the way?
It was between New York and Boston. I knew I wasn't going to, I'll use this word, I wasn't going to do anything by staying in my hometown. That this wasn't what I saw as opportunities to really play my trumpet. So I decided to leave my hometown. And that was the deciding factor. Let me see. Boston, New York. What's in between? Oh, Rhode Island. So I just hitchhiked.
You just threw a dart and here you are.
Yes. That's basically what happened.
You went to Berkeley?
Graduated from Berkeley. I went back to school when I was 27 years old, and I did 4 straight years. Now, I had credits from York College and credits from my first year at Gettysburg College, and they had all accumulated, but I decided I wanted to go back, 27 years old, and just do 4 straight years of college.
What did you major in at Gettysburg in New York?
Gettysburg was music ed, but I didn't know it at the time, but Gettysburg College was also like a theological school, religious. And so I was a music major, but I still remember, I like to tell people this real fast. I remember we had a class I had to go to. It was 7 to 10 in the morning on Wednesday morning. It was called the Study of the Old Testament. It was the roughest course I ever had. And it wasn't music or anything, but we had to learn certain religious things. So then when I went to your college, it was just music education.
Are your parents musical?
My father was a bugler, but my mother wasn't. But I was always around. She always played. I just remember growing up and hearing different programs on the radio. And she used to really have on music from, I still call it this day, elevator music. And she would have that on, like classical music. But also on Saturdays, my brother, we all lived together, and my brother, he had on the soul music. And after a while, I was listening to that, and I remember turning the radio station, and I heard big band, the jazz. And that's what kind of influenced me toward trumpet playing, toward the jazz.
And always, from that point on, always a jazz fan, and but you kept with drum and bugle.
Oh yes, I still try and get to a show. I don't care if it's in Allentown, Pennsylvania, or my next show I want to go to is the DCI Championships. We call it Drum Corps International Championships in Indianapolis, and the Drum Corps Association, the Senior Corps Championships. I think they're going to be, if I'm correct, in Rochester, New York this year. But, I stay involved. Even if it's just to go there and sit down and be a fan. I do judging. I do teaching. And I stay out there.
Are drum and bugle corps as, they used to, at one point, were very popular. Are they as popular today?
No. I wish they were. But as we gotten older, and it sounds kind of morbid, but as I've gotten older, you've seen people just pass on, and the stands aren't as full as what they used to be. But the drum corps fan is just as good as any fan, including the fans for like the Grateful Dead. Those fans are very religious toward the Grateful Dead. A true drum and bugle corps fan is like that. We'll go to any show in any weather just to enjoy the show and the people.
Richie, we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how you got hooked up with Lionel Hampton,
oh, yeah.
Some of those experiences.
Oh,
and then I want to, it's interesting, your observations in terms of drum and bugle course. I really want to talk about the educational aspect and whether or not we're still teaching the arts enough in our schools and how that relates to some of the performance, some of our academic performance that we've seen is a little bit lacking.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, Dementia Training for Life, United Healthcare, Seniors Choice RI, Chris Offenberg, Attorney at Law, and Coastal Foot and Ankle.
Before that really harsh weather arrives, make sure your roof is ready. Do you need some roof repairs? Do you need a new roof? Now's the time to talk with Sean Napolitano at A1 Roofing. Thanks to A1's highly skilled crew of quality craftsmen, you are assured of the absolutely highest quality in roofing. Let Sean give you an honest and fair assessment of your roof. And if there's work to be done, you can't do better than A1 Roofing. Contact A1 at 265-1019. 265-1019.
When you pay your insurance bill, do you actually know what you're covered for? Is it one of the biggest expenses you have? Whether for personal or business protection, purchasing insurance can be a confusing and expensive proposition. The experienced staff at Newport Insurance will search the insurance marketplace for you and provide the best options available for your business or personal needs. Give them a call, stop by their office on East Main Road in Middletown, or visit their website. Newport Insurance would welcome the opportunity to work with you. As a community-based business, Newport Insurance has been and will continue to be very supportive of youth programs and sports on Aquidneck Island. As part of that support, they are very proud to be a sponsor of local high school and Salve Regina sporting events on WADK, a broadcast tradition for more than 45 years. Newport Insurance wishes the best of luck to all our local teams this season. Newport Insurance. Visit their website at newportinsuranceagency.com.
Rocco's Amia's Little Italy, 59 Aquidneck Avenue, Middletown, is open 7 days a week from 11:30 until 1 a.m. Enjoy culinary Italian classics, American pub fare, and a full bar while dining in front of a beautiful fireplace. And the best pizza in town for over 20 years. Rocco's Amia's is perfect for holiday parties from 10 to 200. Call 619-8353. Happy holidays from their family to yours. Rocco's Amia's Little Italy, 59 Aquidneck Avenue, walking distance from Easton Beach. Open early New Year's Day for the Polar Bear Plunge.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, playing on Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. WADK, 1540 a.m., Newport, Rhode Island.
Well, that's neither you on drums or piano, but it's Mercy, Mercy, which Mercy, one of my favorite songs, and it is from Richie Price's album, cleverly entitled Richie Price. How'd you come up with that name?
I don't know. I just thought that it might be an ear catcher because I think money, Rich, and Price. I said, okay, let me do that.
Well, there you go. It's great music. On that one, here's, we'll play some more as we come into some of the other segments as well. Mm-hmm. Want to talk about how you got hooked up with the great, great Lionel Hampton. And it kills me, by the way, when I say to young people who are out there and they say, I'm a jazz fan, and I mention Lionel Hampton, and they say, who?
Sound like an owl.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough when I was at Berkeley. Different musicians that were there. I became a good buddy with a gentleman by the name of Doug Miller, and we played in a couple bands at up there at Berkeley. And then when we graduated, he ended up going to the Lionel Hampton Orchestra. And Lionel Hampton was the 60th year in show business, and he was looking for a lead trumpet player, and he could go to anywhere really. He could pick people in New York or New Jersey, but he decided to go with somebody that wasn't known. And that made me feel good. And I got a call from Mr. Hampton to play in that gig. And I enjoyed it. I look back on it. It was one of the most educational things I ever did in my life. Plus, I played pro ball. And that was important. Pro ball is like pro baseball, pro football. That's you're with the pros.
Yeah.
And you learn how to act like the pros.
Tell me about how long were you with Lionel?
On and off for 9 years. And my first 2 years was great. You know, I was right there on the road, come home to Rhode Island, spend a couple days, go back out on the road, spend a month on the road, come back all over the world.
While you were with Lionel, or at least for some point, you were also teaching at Hendricken?
Yes. And what was so good about that, and I got to mention his name because he's a dear old friend, Metro Narcissi, tenor sax player. He had graduated from Bishop Hendricken. And when I started teaching there, he was still looking for a job and everything. So what happened was, when Mr. Hampton would call the school and ask me, or ask the school if I could be able to go out and perform, Mr. Hampton would personally call the school. And what they did, they would hire Metro Narcissi. And he'd come in and he would teach my classes until I come back. Sometime might be 2 weeks, sometime might be a month. But Metro's an old, dear friend. Metro's a good guy. I'll leave it at that. Metro's a good guy.
Tell us an anecdote or two about your time with Lionel.
I think about being in Paris and standing right outside of the Arc de Triomphe. And we had performed earlier that evening. We got done. I went out to a restaurant by myself. Beautiful. That's one thing I'll never forget. It had rained. And I stepped outside, and the streets are real long. And I looked up, and no more than three blocks was the Arc de Triomphe. And I looked up, and I never forget, I had a scotch in my hand.
And good choice.
Yes, and I, Glenlivet.
That's an even better choice.
And I saluted the Arc de Triomphe. I can remember when we played in Paris one time, we had to play on the radio, or play for, I can't remember the radio, they were like all over the country radio, and we were supposed to play Auld Lang Syne, and we had all these professionals were sitting there along with the French government, and Mr. Hampton wanted us to play, and he was nervous, but what happened was, he had to take certain pills, and we understood that. But what he did that he shouldn't have, he had some champagne, and he had taken the pills earlier. Then he had the champagne, he had drinking champagne, and it didn't mix. And so when it came time for us to play, it was supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, da, 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 da. And he was just out of it enough that he counted the band in different times. And on national radio, it was just that bad. And when we got done, we were standing there, and the whole band, we just dropped our heads in embarrassment. But it wasn't really his fault, except that he drank a little bit of champagne with the medicine. I'll never forget that time.
You also played with the Basie Orchestra, and it was was Count Basie with them then, or
no?
This was
it was afterwards he passed.
And who was the leader then? It was
Frank Foster.
Sure. Yep.
Yes, Frank Foster. And what got me about that was that Doug Miller, who had been with Lionel Hampton with me, he left Mr. Hampton before I left. And he ended up with Count Basie's orchestra. But when I was with the Count Basie's orchestra, it was because I was substituting for Byron Stribling, the trumpet player, who was playing the lead book for him then. because Baron Stripling was going on the road to do like performances about the history of Louis Armstrong. And so they asked me if I'd do it. And I had just gotten off the road with Lionel Hampton. So I picked that. That was like about a 2.5 week gig. And it was the people I got to meet, from Nancy Wilson to the Fog, Mel Torme, Joe Williams, Sarah Vaughan. And more than that, of the people who I got to meet and actually sit down and talk to. That was such an honor.
You also have, I don't know if it's recent vintage or this has been going on a long time, but playing the national anthem in major events?
Yes. It started out at a lady, I can't remember her name exactly, but she heard me, and she was working at Pawtucket Red Sox, and through a friend of hers, who also knew me, they told me I should just come in and ask if I could play. And it was Ben Mondor, God bless his soul. He was the one who heard me, and he's went, "Oh yeah, why don't you come in and play right there on the field?" So I did, and through that I got other jobs like Fenway Park
on Nomar's.
Yeah, Nomar. Yeah, you got an excellent memory, Frank. Excellent memory. I got to play. It was Nomar's rookie year.
Nomar Garcia Parra.
Yeah, it was his rookie year, and it was on his birthday, and I played a national anthem at Fenway Park, and either he hit a grand slam, or he did something that was mind blowing for that day, and he never forgot me after that, Nomar. And it's been years since I've seen him, but the last time I saw him, he saw me from a distance, and he was talking to all these reporters and stuff. He walked away from him. He came over to me. He said, "Trumpet man," and then we started talking about that time.
You know, we go to a lot of Paw Sox games, and we've seen you play the national anthem. And watching, I watch the players during the national anthem, whether it be a choral group or instrumentation or whatever. And they're there, they're on the field, and they listen. Yeah. They're very respectful. Yeah. It's different when you're on the field. Oh. There is you can sense and see that it's not only about being respectful and appreciating the national anthem, but it's really listening to how that is played. There's nobody, Richie, who plays the national anthem like Richie Price.
Thank you.
It's really amazing.
Well,
and you know, we're gonna catch up with some of that music as we go along here, and and I'm not sure whether I'm gonna ask you about a piece on one album before I play it later, but it's really remarkable to see and look at the fans and see how they react to it. You also just did something with the NAACP, correct?
Yes, very, very nice. Jimmy Williams, who's the president of the Newport chapter of NAACP, he invited me to come in and play a couple songs for the for all the people who were there. And I'm just, okay, great. But when I got there and found out that I was at the head table with the mayor, the new mayor of Newport, which I was introduced to her, very nice lady. What's her name?
Jamie Bova.
Bova, yes, very nice lady. And Jimmy Williams, Cicilline, Congressman Cicilline.
I remember him.
Yes. He was there. Abney, he's involved in our finance committee in the
Senate.
Yeah. The past Mayor Gaines, he was there. Vicky. I like Vicky. I can't remember if my I always called her Miss Capricorn, so she knows. I know she's listening. And it was a very nice night. I couldn't stay because I had the gout, but still, it was a very nice night to see all these people there for an awards banquet like that.
Richie, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about education.
Okay.
About the different levels, and we'll get some of your perspective on that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
For the perfect gift this season, look no further than Portobello Jewelers. For dazzling diamonds and gemstones and their beautiful collection of both contemporary and one-of-a-kind antique and estate pieces. Make it perfect. Make it a gift from Portobello Jewelers. Brick Marketplace, Newport.
Hi, this is Jacob from Superior Comfort. I've been the owner and operator of this company since 2005. We are a heating and air conditioning contractor. We want to provide you the best solutions that we can possibly offer for your home or business. I've been actually in this business since I was 13 years old. I was told I needed a job by my mother, and she threw me in a truck with my uncle. So I actually feel like I've had a lifetime in this industry. Superior Comfort takes a lot of my personal values into heart. Customer satisfaction for me is job one. We want all our customers to be 100% satisfied with anything we do. Our goal is to provide quality products, quality installations, knowledgeable service and installation technicians at your home so that you can feel comfortable that we've given you the right solution for your needs. We are a trained TCS dealer. What that means to you as a consumer is we have to maintain over a 90% approval rating with our customer base in order to keep that status. We are actually one of two in the state of Rhode Island. Our website is superiorcomfortinc.com. Phone number 401-396-9171.
At DF Dwyer Insurance, they have a rich history of working with many not-for-profit organizations with a thorough understanding of the challenges faced by nonprofits as they strive toward their missions. Let the professionals at Dwyer obtain the best and most cost-effective coverage your nonprofit needs. Visit Dwyer, in business since 1962, at one of their locations, on Bellevue in Newport, or in Jamestown on Narragansett Avenue. Online at dfdwyer.com. Dwyer Insurance will always do what's best for their clients.
WADK.com and Corrigan Financial present high school basketball action. Bob Angel and John Diaz bring you the play-by-play featuring all three of our Quidnick Island high schools. This exclusive live coverage is brought to you by
A1 Roofing and Construction, Midtown Oyster Bar, Clements Marketplace, O'Brien's Pub, Newport Insurance Agency, West Main Pizza, and by Corrigan Financial.
Join us for the excitement of high school basketball live on WADK.com.
Holidays are the perfect time for Coddington Brewing Company. Whether it's a family night out, the office holiday party, or catching a game at the bar with a great beer and delicious appetizers. Shop early and pick up a Coddington gift card today. Open 7 days for lunch and dinner. Coddington Brewing Company. Go to codbrew.com for more information.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the town, Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
There's my buddy Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
The music you heard was Richie Price, and the Richie has been a real treasure in this state. One of a number of great musicians that are in Rhode Island, and one that sometimes I think you ride under the radar screen a little bit. You're in the National Buglers Hall of Fame. You're in the National Drum and Bugle Corps Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. but you're not in the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame, correct?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so...
might be, but I really don't
think so. I keep mentioning it to my friend Bob Billington up at the Blackstone Valley Chamber of Commerce, which is involved with that, that we're going to have to get you in there because you surely belong in there. I wanted to talk about education a little bit. You've taught at Hendricken. You've taught at Portsmouth. You've taught at Rogers.
And Thompson.
And you've taught on a middle school level, and you've taught on a high school level. When did you first start teaching music?
1987, September of 1987. Just got after 2 years on the road with Lionel Hampton. I decided then take a breath and step back and see what I can do it with my life. I'm married. I got a son. And
I heard a rumor that your wife said, you know, you got to get a job with medical insurance.
That is so true. Well, that's what I would tell people. That's the reason I had to get out on the road, because there was no Blue Cross or Blue Shield. That's why I tell people, man, you should never look. Man, this thing could be a star. No, I wouldn't be a star. But it's Blue Cross and Blue Shield. That's why I changed.
And so what you brought a different perspective than a lot of the music teachers, because you lived this life.
Yes. Yes.
How did that guide you in how you would teach, and how did the kids relate to that?
Well, because they saw a teacher, a music teacher in the system, who I did almost every day, especially when I was at Portsmouth, every day I'd practice. I'd be in the middle of a teaching class, not even band. It might be, they use the word exploratory music or general music. But every day I have my trumpet and I'd practice. I'd be in the middle of a sentence and I'd say, wait a minute, I feel something coming on. And I'd practice for no more than 30 seconds, a couple of scales. And these kids would look at me. And they would even ask questions. How come you're doing it? I said, because I want to get better on my trumpet. And when I get home, I might not have time. But these students looked at me in a different light. Also because I talked I talked at their level. I didn't try to talk way above them or anything. Like, I just talked their level. The kid would make me angry. A student, I don't like to use the word kid too much, but if a student made me angry, I'd bust his chops. I wouldn't think about, well, maybe he'll go home and tell his parents and go through all that. No, man, I'm trying to make sure these kids walk the straight and narrow. And through the years, Henriken, that's 1987, there's still students from Henriken who get on Facebook or who sent me a Christmas card, because I affected them back in 87, and it really changed some of them, and they became family men. And that's what I guess the teaching to me was about. It was not only about the education, but it was about what's gonna happen in life.
Building character.
That's the word, thank you. Building character. Even the young ladies the same way. Young ladies sit there playing flute and she don't want to be there, I let her know. Oh, you don't want to be here today? Well, I could write you a note. You could sit up at the vice president's office and let him talk to you. I would do things just to let them know that I'm for them, and they can't afford to act like
this.
So
I've been in your class. I was in your class at Barbara Moore Silva, and I came down to Portsmouth Middle School. And I remember the walls had all these posters of jazz artists. I don't know why. But I watched you teach, and you didn't take any guff from the kids.
Yeah.
But you also saw the kids really wanted to be engaged in what was going on. I don't know. Are we doing enough in our schools in terms of the arts? I told you earlier about my convoluted belief that, you know, in history books, we write about a point in time. It's only through the arts, through music, through dance, through the visual arts, that we actually learn about the soul of a society.
I agree with you.
And so I see that as really important. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's enough of importance put on teaching the arts in school today? And maybe you don't have that perspective. I don't know.
I just look at it and I wish that, yes and no, but yes, I wish that the budgets, I see money being, or hear about it, and actually look and see money's being and the budget's being passed around, and yet it seems like music isn't like the art. No, not music. The arts aren't a main. They should have a nice fat budget too. What I mean by fat, they should have more in their budgets. These music and arts departments. I think that a lot of my peers, they want to do that, and it's hard to get monies. And also, I believe that it's hard to get students even involved more in listening or going to a class, general music class, and sit there and learn about not only Louis Armstrong, but a dancer or a music critic. Try to have a music critic come into your school and sit down and talk to your classes.
You know, but even relating history, right? So if you think of the blues, right?
Yes.
And you go back to the Mississippi Delta blues.
Oh, yeah.
And you go back to guys like Son House and Mississippi John Hurt and what was going on in those times and how that music related to what was happening in Mississippi and at that point in time.
Yeah.
It's more than just an arts lesson. It's a history lesson.
History lesson.
And told in an incredibly compelling way, I think.
It is. It has been. I think that students today, again, that those music exploratory classes or general music classes, they should be emphasized more in the curriculum.
Don't you think that the arts, if and again, maybe this is a convoluted belief on my part that's maybe not true, but it's the arts help kids think a little bit more creatively?
And they think not only more creatively, they think.
Yeah, maybe that's the key word.
Yeah, they think. And I remember keeping my students in line about that. Think, you must think. Here's one thing. Let me say this. I don't know if I should, but then it's in my heart. I still told the students up until when I retired after 30 years in my classes, especially the last 10, I would get so frustrated when I would hear, well, Massachusetts students are doing better than Rhode Island students. Rhode Island is ranked 47th in the country and in education. And I would just tell these kids, I try to not brainwash them, but I keep this in their head. Don't let people tell you that you're not good, that you're not a good thinker, you're not a good student. You are. Some kids take that and they would push themselves some more to try to learn more, to try to get better.
So the lesson here, and we have to go to our break.
Yeah.
The lesson is that you can overcome adversity.
Easily.
And in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
Running your small business isn't easy, but finding low-cost health insurance for you and your employees can be. At HealthSource RI, we offer the lowest priced plans in the state from the top insurance companies. Let our team take finding insurance off your to-do list so you can get back to running your business. Call 1-855-683-6757 or visit HealthSourceRI.com today to see how much you could save. HealthSource RI, we work for your business.
Mix 99.3 FM and AM 1540 WADK present Stuff the Truck. On December 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., both radio stations will be collecting non-perishable food products and holiday toys to benefit the families served by the Martin Luther King Center. You'll find us at VD Mercedes, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton. We will be joined by the Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses mascots, the 88th Army Band playing holiday classics, Evan from Wicked Awesome Balloons, Antonio's of Newport, dessert with delicious fare, hot chocolate from Mars Donuts, costume characters of the blue and red fuzzy kind, and of course, Santa Claus. WADK's Bruce Newberry will be broadcasting his Dining Out program live, and Mix 99.3 will be playing music and registering everyone who donates a toy or food product for an exciting weekend of skiing, including lodging and lift tickets, to Waterville Valley. So join us on Saturday, December 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at VD Mercedes VD Volvo Cars on Fish Road in Tiverton. Stuff the Truck is brought to you by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, People's Credit Union, Coastal Foot and Ankle, VD Mercedes VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton, and of course, AM 1540 WADK and Mix 99.3.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and the all-new Mix 99.3 present the Newport County Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Serving Southern New England for over 18 years, Clean Right Cleaning and Restoration provides the best in disaster restoration and professional cleaning. The Clean Right team is on call 24 hours a day. Go to cleanrightri.com for more information.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this Business of the Week.
Color is the strongest element of visual perception. That's why across the shelves of each of Humphrey's two full-service paint centers, Humphrey's Building Supply in Tiverton, and their newest acquisition, Beach Paint by Humphrey's on Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown, you'll find the most comprehensive line of Pittsburgh paints. Area professionals and the do-it-yourself crowd trust Humphrey's. Shouldn't you? For more information, go to buildwiththeh.com.
Hey, just ask your delivery guy, or the guy who built your delivery guy's house, or the guy who laid the highway for the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Ford Commercial Vehicles can handle the job. During commercial vehicle season, save on Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, Super Duty, and Medium Duty trucks. Ford Trucks and Vans. Year after year, America's best-selling line of commercial vehicles, because they're built Ford tough.
Claim based on IHS Market calendar year 1985 through 2017, U.S. TIP registrations excluding registrations to individual. See your dealer for details.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you're not informed, then you're out of the loop.
On air and online.
And if you're out of the loop, you have no idea what's going on.
WADK.com.
So if you want to hear the entire version of the Star Spangled Banner, got to go listen to Richie play. But imagine that on a ball field. And it really is an incredible inspiration to the crowd. And I want to talk about inspiration in this segment. But first, I need to tell people about a little breaking news. Federal judge in Manhattan has sentenced Michael Cohen, the president's former personal attorney, to 3 years in prison for crimes including campaign finance violation, tax evasion, and lying to Congress. I think that's what people were speculating would be the sentence. And my presumption is because he cooperated, he probably saved himself several more years. But that's the sentence. One more time, Michael Cohen, 3 years in prison. Federal judge came down with that sentence this morning. So I want to talk a little bit about inspiration, Richie, and it goes beyond the music. It goes to a number of years ago, you were diagnosed with a kidney problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kidney transplant,
mm-hmm.
and you never gave up.
No, because I knew that I still had some ideas that I wanted to do, like what I'm doing now, especially with retirement, to be able to 30 years and now... 3 years before I retired, I started thinking about, what do I want to do? Inspiration. What do I want to do in life or keep going on? Well, I got to keep my wife happy. That's number one. Keep my son happy. That's number one. And I decided to just take my trumpet and go into the same musical field. I work with a piano player named Stan Holzman, and we go out in public. Once in a while, we play, And I'm always open for jobs like that, private parties, things. My inspiration, what kept me inspired, especially those nights that when I'm in dialysis and it's 3 a.m. and my dialysis is ending, I get in my car, I go home, I sleep at approximately from 4:30 to 5:45, a couple hours, then get up and go teach. And I would do that 3 times a week. And people thought that I was kind of like, not to use it as a negative, but that I was kind of crazy for doing that. But I was inspired. I saw my wife. My wife, you know, said, no, you got something left. Go keep teaching. And that helped, you know. Even though it was dog tired, I still think about it. I was dog tired a lot. I still wanted to keep going. My doctors, they inspired me to keep going. Dr. Shreves and Dr. McCoy, Dr. Levine, Dr. Morris, all those doctors said, no, man, no. You could easily just, you know, sit back and collect. But if you want to teach and you feel that you can teach, do it. And then I think about the kids, the students. And that's another inspiration. Go at them kids. Make sure those kids, and again, I say this very seriously, because a lot of people who are listening, I have a feeling some of you know me, and you know my teaching through Drum and Bugle Corps and through my first 10 years at Bishop Hendricken, how to deal with discipline, how to make sure that the students walk the straight and narrow. Most students want to walk that straight and narrow. They just really don't know how to unless their parents or somebody that they consider close to them that they can listen to. That's when you can inspire them. That's when they get inspired. And that's what I really like.
Did you ever share your story with the kids about the kidney transplant and how you came back from that and how you never lost hope? Have you shared that in the classroom at all?
No, but you just gave me an idea. Oh, in the classroom, yes. Oh, in the classroom. Right after I leave here, I have another appointment that will help me be able to get some jobs in the school systems where I can get hired to go in and talk to students, play a little bit, play the history, have the piano player, and talk about what it was like to be able to, as you say, tell the kids how it's important that even when adversity hits you, that's a temporary setback.
It's not the end of the road. It's just an obstacle. You just have to overcome it. When I was involved in a project with another individual and I'm somebody who's always very hopeful and optimistic,
sure.
And I would tell people that this guy and I could go out for a cup of coffee and we could drink out of the same cup.
Yeah.
He'd drink from the bottom, I'd drink from the top. We always have to be drinking from the top, right?
Yeah.
How long did you go through treatment for your kidney and how long did it keep you from playing?
It didn't keep me from playing at all. Let me change that. I think 3 weeks after I got the transplant, for 3 weeks I couldn't put the horn up to my ear up to my mouth or anything. But I was on the transplant for 2008. I was on the transplant. I could say for 3 years, maybe more. But I really believe through the grace of God and Jesus that. Because I had been going to our spot, your spot, my spot, the wellness center.
Right.
This exercising or trying to exercise helped me out a lot. And it also showed the nurses who were there, who I was on a list. And the nurses saw that I really didn't want to be at dialysis because I could be doing something else, even if it was just practicing at home. And so when they saw that, I go to my doctors saw it. Next thing you know, my name had been moved up the list because all these different people said, hey, this guy really wants to get his kidney. He wants to still be productive with his life and his family and all that. And boom, that's why I could sit here and talk to you.
You know, I have to share a funny story with folks. So Richie goes to Health Tracks in East Providence, as I do. I play racquetball there. And and so I said to Richie one day, I said, you know, wouldn't it be really cool if you showed up on a Saturday morning and played the national anthem before our game? And he did. I think he surprised everybody in the place.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. All fun, man.
It was all fun. And you know, Richie gives back an awful lot. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What would you say to young people who want to get into music, who are aspiring musicians?
Get good grades and learn. Learn whatever subject you're in. It's difficult. I wasn't good at biology, but my mother and father, and then my wife, Barbara, would tell me, even if you don't like the subject, it's to make you think. And I would go, okay. And I would think, and it would just seem like it would open up whatever it is in your brain, and you really have to think. And that helped me out. I would also inspire students who want to go into music to not only go to the concerts, but to try and talk to people, musicians out there. They're not going to smack you off to the side and say, get away from me, kid. More than likely, the true musician is going to take time and talk to you, really talk to you. And finally, get into the history books and read about the classical players and the jazz players and the rock players and see how, as music, they relate, not only to you, but how they relate to the general public. And practice your butt off. Anytime you can practice on your instrument, do it.
In spite of your parents.
Yes, and in spite of you going outside and not caring, people look at me and beep the horns or they try to give me money and all that. I play.
So Richie goes down. We've got maybe a half minute left, but Richie goes to, not this time of year, but he'll go down to the waterfront in Providence, and he'll go and practice. Mm-hmm. People come up and try to give him money. He sends them off and says, get ice cream for your kid or your grandchild.
Yeah, that's it.
And we're just about out of time, Richie. I want to thank you for coming in.
It's always
great to have you here. We'll do this again. And you are, as I said, just an incredible asset to this community.
Thank you. And you've always been a good guy, man.
Thank you, Richie. And we'll catch up with everybody tomorrow. And we are going to have yet another musician, Lois Vaughn. And we'll be back tomorrow.
This has been the Open Forum. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management.